Welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. Today we'll be discussing the PATIS-PE study, which was published in July 2015 in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And here to tell us about the findings of this study and its implications in practice is Dr. Glenn Pabenko from the West Palm Beach VA Medical Center. Dr. Pabenko and his colleague, Dr. Jacqueline Hernandez, wrote a commentary for iFormRx. Glenn, thanks for joining us today on the iFormRx podcast.
Thank you for inviting me, Stuart. Glad to be here.
So my first question, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the PATIS-PE study to someone who hasn't read the paper, what would you say?
Sure. The PATIS-PE study was a French study of 371 patients who had suffered a first episode of symptomatic unprovoked pulmonary embolism. After an initial six-month treatment course, patients were randomized to receive an additional 18 months of therapy with vitamin K antagonist or placebo. The hypothesis was that there would be a higher benefit-to-risk ratio with extended therapy compared to placebo. The co-primary endpoints were rate of recurrence of VTE and major bleeding during the extended course of oral anticoagulation. The investigators found that the rate of recurrent VTE was significantly lower in those who stayed on the additional 18-month course of oral anticoagulation therapy than those who did not. The bleeding rate was numerically higher in the extended group, but was not statistically significant.
So, Glenn, in examining the study methodology, what would you say are the major strengths, potential weaknesses, and the limitations of this study?
Well, the strengths of the study include all the usual design features that we'd like to see: randomized, double-blind, and it met power. Another strength is that these patients that were included in the study had to have a symptomatic unprovoked pulmonary embolism, unlike other trials which combined DVTs and PE. And also, I think what was important was the fact that the patients in both groups were followed for an additional 24 months. In other words, patients who stopped oral anticoagulation after 6 months of therapy were followed an additional 36 months. And those who stopped oral anticoagulation after 24 months of therapy were followed another 24 months. This gave us insight on what happens after anticoagulation is stopped. One of the major limitations, I think, is the generalizability of the trial, due to the fact that the patients were required to have a relatively high time in therapeutic range to be included in the study, and the burden of INR monitoring. It was done at least monthly, and every time the dose was changed.
So, Glenn, we've known for some time now that patients with hypercoagulable disorders like protein C deficiency and antithrombin deficiency and the anticardiolipin syndrome, as examples, are all at high risk for recurrent venous thromboembolism and should be treated with anticoagulation therapy for a prolonged period of time. How do the results of this study compare to studies that have examined the duration of anticoagulation therapy following deep vein thrombosis, and how does this study add to what we already know?
Well, there is benefit to extended therapy in both DVT studies and in this study, which looks specifically at PEs. The difference was in how the recurrent episode presented. Recurrent VTE episodes after an initial DVT, only 20% of recurrences are PE. In this PATIS-PE study, regardless of whether patients had been treated for 6 months or 24 months, about 80% of recurrences comprise another episode of symptomatic PE, of which 8% were fatal. This reinforces the idea that in patients with PE, there is a higher benefit to risk ratio compared to those in patients with DVT. It also reinforces the idea that unprovoked PE is a chronic disease. As for your second question, a lot of clinicians already know that the current guidelines favor extended anticoagulation for most patients, except perhaps to those who have a good reason to stop anticoagulation. In other words, those patients with high risk for bleeding. In this study, nearly half of the patients who continued on extended oral anticoagulation were deemed high risk for bleeding. There was an overall low bleeding rate of 2.2% during the additional 18 months of therapy. This tells us that even those at high risk for bleeding can be considered for extended oral anticoagulation with close monitoring and high quality management of anticoagulation.
So imagine you have a 59-year-old female patient who's recently diagnosed with a pulmonary embolism and comes to you for her initial visit in the anticoagulation clinic following her discharge from the hospital. Now, the referral states that the patient should receive anticoagulation therapy for, quote, at least 6 months. How would you go about determining the appropriate duration of therapy for this patient? And if this patient was deemed a good candidate for prolonged therapy, under what circumstances would you recommend treatment to be continued beyond 2 years?
I would start by asking her questions to get a more detailed history and her account on the embolic event to help determine whether or not it was provoked. I would also gather a more detailed medical history and determine the patient's baseline bleeding risk. Fortunately, here in the VA system, we have access to patient's medical records in a case that she doesn't recall or unable to answer my questions. As for extending therapy beyond 2 years, I would consider the patient's adherence, time in therapeutic range, and ensure that the patient has not developed any contraindications to anticoagulation. I would also consider her preferences with regards to the burdens of continued anticoagulation therapy, such as time and cost of continued monitoring. I would also perhaps engage her on the discussion of the fact that if she stops anticoagulation therapy, the risk of recurrence is high and potentially fatal, just as we've seen in the PADIS PE trial. My personal preference would be to encourage the patient to continue anticoagulation therapy indefinitely because the initial event was unprovoked. And certainly, I will make sure that she understands that the benefits of continuing anticoagulation therapy outweighs the risk of bleeding while on extended therapy.
Well, I want to thank you, Glenn, for joining us on the iForumRx podcast and reviewing the PADIS PE study with us. And it's clear from your comments that you believe that prolonged, perhaps indefinite, therapy with an anticoagulant is important. Of course, we've got new anticoagulants that have come out, which appear to be safer and perhaps more effective than warfarin therapy. And maybe these are the agents that we should be using in patients who require extended therapy. Well, tell us what you think. Will you be treating patients beyond 2 years who've had unprovoked DVTs and PEs? Will you be turning to some of our new direct oral anticoagulants? Post a comment or two. Until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iForumRx, signing off.